me say a word of prayer today. Father, we ask in the strong name of Jesus that the ministry of the Holy Spirit would be with us in this day. We need you so much. We need your help in these very, very difficult times. May your word speak into our hearts today, and may we be forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin by reading a passage of Scripture. The passage of Scripture is found in Philippians chapter 3, very familiar, I'm sure, to all of you. And I'm going to grab onto one phrase. Listen to what Scripture says. Whatever were gains for me, I consider them loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead. It's a passage of Scripture that many of us have looked at time and time again, and it's exciting to see how much Paul is giving testimony that Jesus was for him everything. Nothing was as important to him as Jesus. And even what he had tried to gain that he had to then let go of, being a Pharisee, a Hebrew of Hebrews, being well known as a religious leader, he had to let go of that. He said, it's nothing in comparison to knowing Christ. As I've commented before, the Apostle Paul became Christ crazy. Jesus was everything to the Apostle Paul. He even went on in one of his other letters to say, for me to live is Christ. It is not Christ that lives in me. It is not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So he was very much oriented toward Jesus. He was a Jesus guy through and through. And he often emphasizes the fact of the cross, which we've already talked about in one of our podcasts. This is the phrase that I want to focus in on for a few moments. Paul's not only talking about that he wants to know Jesus, but he says this, I want to become like him in his death. Now, I think this is really important that we capture what Paul is saying. I don't think Paul was saying, I want to die like him. He is saying that when he looks and considers how Christ died, what was true of that death, what were the values that Christ embraced as he was dying, Paul is saying, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. Because he saw something in the death of Christ and the way Jesus gave himself that was valuable enough for him to say, I want to live like that. Now, I think it's important for you to know that some of my thoughts are going to be a restatement of a recent live stream that I did. Because I feel that these concepts are so important to us, particularly in this time. I mean, there are Christians that are gathering and we're saying to one another, how do we respond to what's going on in this world today? The pandemic that is taking lives, and many would like to have believed it would be over by now, but here in the United States, we're talking about having over 200,000 deaths by the fall, and certainly more globally. But not just the pandemic, but also the fact that for many people, the economy, they're in bad shape. Many people have been furloughed from their jobs. Some have lost their jobs. Companies have shut down, and people are struggling. And then, of course, as many of you are aware, here in the United States, we are facing a tremendous moment, a tipping point of change. And it has to do with injustice over a group of people that are asking for the rest of us to rise up with them and say, Black Lives Matter. Now, it's in the midst of that that we begin to look to the cross. And we begin to look at what Paul is stating here, that he wants to be like Jesus in his death. And I'm going to say it for me. I want to live by the values by which Jesus died. Because there are some things on the cross that we see that are so very important for us to understand. And again, I know this is a reiteration, but sometimes redundancy can help us. So if you watched the live stream, you heard this in part. But I pray that today you hear it again. I need to say it again. I want it to soak more deeply in me. You see, the cross is the demonstration of the love of God. That's what John Stott said. John Stott made this declaration that when you look to the cross, you see not only the majesty of God, but you see the love of God. Well, let's look at what that love is like. And the first is that the cross and love teach us that we're not supposed to use power for personal gain. That comes out of Philippians chapter 2. Jesus did not set aside his glory, did not use his power for personal gain, but he used power in order to serve others. Many, many people in this world, when we gain power, whether it's small bits of power or great power, like leading a nation, begin to manipulate that power for personal gain so that we will do better. But the bottom line is that power is to be exercised to help other people do better. That's what Jesus teaches us here on the cross. Jesus could have called angels. He could have, you know, knocked everybody over. He could have completely punished those individuals that were taking his life. He didn't, because he had another purpose in mind. It might have even frustrated his disciples that he didn't show his power, but he would not use power to deliver himself because he was using power to save a world. That is such an important teaching for us. You know, I hear discussions such as this, like maybe there's a disenfranchised or a marginalized group of people, and then there's a group of people that have power, and they say, look, you just got to come to the line. If we're going to make this work, we got to each bring our part. It's a 50-50 proposition here. You know, it isn't a 50-50 proposition. When one group has a lot of power, let's say 80% of the power, another group has 20% of the power, those that have the 80% are supposed to help the others. Give away some of that power. Help them come to the line. Go way across the line to meet them. Because that's a Christian principle that is so important for us. Here's another important principle that we see if we want to be like Jesus in his death. You don't use evil to combat evil. You don't use violence to combat violence. It doesn't work. This is that great teaching of Dr. Martin Luther King. He says darkness doesn't dispel darkness. Only light can do that. Hatred will not defeat hatred. Only love can do that. That's an important, if you will, representation of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Miroslav Volf said that it takes two acts of evil for evil to win. So if someone slaps you in the face, you slap them back, evil won. If someone kicks you in the shin, you kick them back, evil won. But that's not the way that Jesus did it, is it? Not on the cross. And if we're going to be like him in his death, we have to understand that. I already spoke to you earlier about the idea of participating in the sufferings of those that are being mistreated. And so that's a characteristic here that we see. Jesus was carrying and participating and linking into the suffering of the whole world. As a matter of fact, again, quoting John Stott, he said he couldn't believe in a God that didn't touch suffering. And one of the reasons he does believe as a Christian is because he sees that God begins to embrace the suffering of this world. And so we have to begin to touch the pain that other people are experiencing to have compassion, to suffer with. And this is part of what the cross teaches us. And you look at the cross and you see other things that Jesus did. How accepting Jesus was of the people that were on each side of him, even promising one of them that he'd be with him today in paradise. Here's Jesus, the one that went beyond goodness and the law, embracing those who did less than goodness and the law. It's a picture of part of the morality of Jesus, his willingness to forgive, his willingness to accept, his willingness to embrace, all part of this help me to understand what it means to embrace the death of Jesus Christ in my life, to be like him in his death. These are hard teachings. And by the way, many of us think that to carry a cross means to carry some burden. Well, that may be true, but what's more true is to live the way Jesus died. That's what's more true. And people need to see that in this death, Jesus was fighting for justice, that people would be treated with kindness, with goodness. And he bore the wrath of the evil one so that we could not have to face that. That's why the power of these teachings are just so important. And the whole idea that Jesus ends this time on the cross with a promise, today you will be with me in paradise. And he's saying to all of us, let us never forget, there will be another day. Lions will lie down with lambs. Swords will be turned into plowshares. And people of all tribes and all nations and all ethnic groups and different languages and different genders and different ages and different classes will be one. We who take that one loaf. This is a powerful teaching here today from Paul. He loves Jesus. He says he wants to know Jesus. He wants to be like Jesus, but then he goes further and says, I want to be like him in his death. May I live the way Jesus died. May I use the power that Christ has given me, the grace that he's given me to help others. Not myself. May I not combat evil with evil. But where there is darkness, may I bring light. Where there is hatred, may I respond with love. May I care. May I touch the sufferings of others. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. We call ourselves people of the cross. Never before in my lifetime has that been more necessary for Christians than right now. We offer this to you, Lord. Empower us, we pray.